This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is when a tenant dies. But before we get started, just want to touch base with you guys again and see how you're doing this week. Hopefully you guys are moving forward. Man, oh man, it's still a seller's market out there. There's crazy bidding wars going on, and a lot of institutional players are getting in on it. It's a frenzy out there. For those of you that are buying or selling property, great time to sell. I've been selling off my smaller properties and getting great prices. So if you do have some, this is a good time to let those properties go. And if you're really looking for some good prices out there. Anyway, let's get on to our tip of the week here. Rentometer, or some people call it rentometer. It just depends on who it is that's speaking. I think the company would say rentometer. But hey, great company. You may already know about them. That's cool. If not, this is one of my favorite resources. It's the fastest and easiest way to compare rents of properties anywhere in the U.S. Rentometer uses advanced technology and data management tools to provide a thorough rent comparison analysis within seconds for any address in the U.S. Rentometer also offers premium subscription services, which I really recommend. They're really inexpensive for a year's subscription. And it's going to give you a lot more detailed information. I mean, I love it because I can put in an address. Now I can look at my existing properties. I can check and see if my rents are within market. Yeah, the premium service is really a good route to go because you can get a lot more detailed information. I like to go to the actual addresses. Like, you'll plug in your address and it'll have on a map, it'll show it, and then it'll show the rents of places nearby you. And then you can click on those rents with the premium service, and it allows you to assess that particular property and see how well it compares to yours and whether or not it's comparable. Because sometimes you just put in, let's say, a one bedroom, one bath, and you may look that this is a full house as opposed to a half of a duplex or even an apartment. So it's a good idea to get the subscription service. If you're shopping properties, of course, it's great to be able to see if you're buying a property whose rents are under market. That's obviously a good value add play. So you want to try to find those kinds of properties. So Rentometer, there'll be a link in the show notes, and you'll be able to click on that. They're a partner with us, so we really like to support them. Okay, well, let's move on to our topic. This is, unfortunately, it's a somber topic. I recently encountered seemed like a wave to me of tenant deaths, and it is it can be really shocking. First off, about a year and a half ago, in this one apartment, one of the roommates in there passed away in a suicide, which is not a pleasant thing by any means. It was pretty traumatic for just us and the people in the building and so forth. And then a year and a half later, the other remaining roommate passed away. It was not a suicide. It was just a heart attack, but not just a heart attack. It was a heart attack, and he was still a young man, so it was pretty sad. But, when that happens, and then not even 2 weeks after that, I get a call that another tenant had passed away now, not in their apartment. This is somebody that had a history of some medical problems, and actually passed away in the hospital, but we got notified, and it was just like, boom, boom, boom. It really pretty traumatic when that happens. But I think it's important to mention this. If you have properties and you have tenants, this can happen. Hopefully you never have to deal with it. And, with the death of a renter or a tenant, but if you do, there are certain steps that you should be aware of. And so I'm just going to outline those. It's really wise to make sure you do things legally and the right way. Now, there are state and local laws that you should become familiar with, but I'm going to give you more general information, and then you can follow up with finding out specifically what's needed for your particular area. There are essential steps that a landlord must follow to be protected both legally and financially. Now, while laws may vary from state to state, you should always check your local and state laws in the unfortunate event that you are presented with a tenant death. This podcast outlines certain guidelines that you need to take in order to comply with the law. And I will say my disclaimer here just right up front that I am not an attorney, okay, and neither is Old Dogs REI Network. We don't provide legal advice. This material has been prepared for informational purposes only. All listeners are advised to check all applicable local, state, and federal laws and consult legal counsel should questions arise. Okay, so let me get into it. There are basically five key steps that you need to take. And first one is as soon as it happens. Now, with our particular situation, the gentleman that just recently passed away in his unit, there was another tenant that was a friend of his who was ill, so hadn't talked to him in a while because she had medical issues. And so she was confined to her room, but she noticed that he wasn't, coming and going. She could usually hear him coming up the stairs, and he was sort of overweight. And I think that was part of the reason of his heart issues. But he, she could hear him coming up the stairs. He'd be breathing heavy. And she noticed when she went to get her mail that he had a lot of backed up mail in his box. And so she contacted us. And at that point, we had someone from our property management knock on the door and see if there was anybody there. There was no answer. But the door was locked. And so we figured at this point that there may be an issue. So we contacted the police. The police came, and they said that they couldn't go in without authorization. So we were able to let them in. And sure enough, the tenant was inside the room and had passed away. The most important thing, especially if it's, somebody that passes away there and you're the one to discover it, not a family member, is that you notify the police. So the coroner came, inspected the room, looked for any kind of, if there's indications of, possibility of homicide or anything of that nature. All the clues in the room basically led to the fact that it was a heart attack. He had a meal he had just picked up, put it on the counter, hadn't even opened it yet, and then fell back on his bed and passed away. So that was the indication was that, he had a heart attack at that point. Now, the most important first step, of course, if you do, you're the one to discover it, then you do need to call the police. The most important step after that is getting a written notification of the death. A landlord will usually find out one of two ways. Sometimes it'll be from a family member or maybe an executor of the tenant's estate. This is
this written notification is essential to legally begin the process of ending the lease, lawfully removing the tenant's possessions, and preparing the property for the next renter. If the landlord is the one who discovers the death, immediately call the police, which we did, as well as the emergency contact listed by the tenant. Secure the rental and do not move anything or take anything from the unit. Okay, it's real important that once if the police came, like they did, and to remove the body, then we had to secure it and lock it up and make sure that nobody could get in there. Then you wait for authorities. And the in our case, they came in the emergency personnel to be able to remove the body, and then it's important to check with your local and state laws regarding this kind of an event and be prepared ahead of time if the occasion should arise. So you should know what your local laws are. And different states, if you have properties in multiple states, you need to check with those individual states and local municipalities. If you obtain this written notification, if you can't obtain this information, this written notice, then from the next of kin, you may have to go actually get a court order to obtain the information. So now we had the coroner who provided us with that data right up front, so we got it pretty quickly. But in the case where you're being notified, you still need to get that information. The next thing, of course, I mentioned is secure the property. That's key. After the landlord has received written notification, the next step is to secure the property. Lock all the windows and doors to avoid any theft. If they lived alone, the landlord may want to consider changing the locks to avoid people entering the property without prior knowledge. Once the next of kin or executor of the estate has officially been handed over the keys, the landlord is not responsible for securing the tenant's belongings. If there is no next of kin or estate executor, follow your local and state laws regarding abandoned tenant property. Okay, then the next part is to prepare for the next tenancy. You basically have to get the place ready for a tenant. The next step is taking a look at the lease. Okay, what do you do if you have a lease and the tenant passes away? Now, to legally and lawfully move on, the landlord will need to end or transition the lease. When dealing with the next of kin or state executor, be sure to have compassion for their situation while respectfully and lawfully working to regain the property. Here are two common lease situations you might have to face. For example, if it's a month-to-month lease, the tenant's death will act as the 30-day notice. Notify the next of kin or executor of the date that the lease will end and coordinate with them regarding removing possessions, cleaning, transitioning the property, and all the deadlines. If it's a long-term lease, like it was in our case, if the deceased tenant had a long-term lease, the lease does not end automatically when the tenant passes. It's important to know. The lease will transition to the next of kin or the estate executor. In most cases, the next of kin executor will want to end the lease. It is advisable to work with them to end the lease and let them know that you will treat the death as a broken lease agreement and that the next of kin or estate executor is responsible for the full rent amount until the rent unit is re-rented. Now, I think, especially dealing with the grief that the person has to deal with, you legally could say that they need to pay the remaining amount. I have a hard time with that. I just worked directly with the next of kin and a very, very nice lady and the sister of the deceased. And I just, basically said, look, we'll use the security deposit to clean the room and, get it ready for the next tenant. But I'm not going to say you have to pay the rest of the lease. And so that's what I would do. That's what I'd recommend. Okay, but then there's the issue of what to do with the tenant's belongings. A landlord cannot remove the belongings of the deceased tenant. They will need to work with the family or executor to coordinate getting them removed and work with them, set timelines, deadlines. We had the sister flew in from out of town and she came in and she basically didn't want any of the things except the memorabilia. If there was any paperwork there, she might have to deal with whether it was bank accounts or what have you, and pick pictures and anything of a personal nature. She didn't want the clothing, didn't want the furniture, said, you know, you guys can do whatever you'd like with that. So it's going to be different in everybody's situation. But the main idea is, you know, you get it signed off that that it's okay to take that and, you know, just throw it away if necessary, or, you know, do with it whatever we will. So that's an important part of it. If there isn't a next of kin, then you have to follow your local and state laws regarding abandoned tenant property. You may be required to hold it for a certain amount of time and then sell it at auction and return the money to the estate. So there's, you know, there's different ways to handle those things. You know, that usually goes pretty quickly with the next of kin deciding what they want. And in most cases, also with the other person that passed away shortly after, she really didn't want any of the furniture. She was just looking for pictures and things to remember him by. So they should, though, assign what's called a release to the rights of possession. Once the property is cleared to your satisfaction, ask the next of kin to sign a release to the rights of possession form. Once that's completed, then you're in pretty good shape at that point to go ahead and re-rent the property. But you want them to sign off on it that, okay, they've received what they have, they're satisfied, and that property that can then be rented out. Now, what do you do with the security deposit if the tenant passes away? And I kind of touched on that a little bit before, but the security deposit may be used for unpaid rent, wear and tear beyond the normal amount, and cleaning fees. Sometimes, especially if the tenant dies in the property, you may need special cleanup, you know, a special sanitation type of cleanup. And we did have that, but the coroner's office provided that, so that worked out for us. But you need to be able to cover those costs, so that it's understood that the security deposit may be used for those. Be sure, though, to make an itemized list of all deductions and give that to the next of kin or estate executor. If there isn't a remainder as given back, that they'll have a breakdown of what the costs you had incurred as a result of getting it back to a rentable condition. You know, dealing with a tenant passing is never an ideal situation. Your top priority as a landlord is to make sure you are protected legally by following all local and state laws regarding a tenant's death. This can help ease the financial impacts as well as allowing you to find a new tenant as quickly as possible. If there are next of kin, be as compassionate as you can. You know, work with the family members to remove belongings and get the rental returned to a place where it can be lawfully turned back over to for rental. So when you're ready to find a new tenant, you know, be sure to complete a thorough tenant screening, of course, you know, and find a new tenant. Just a quick, you know, FAQ here. What's the first thing to do if a tenant passes away? Number one, get that written notification of tenant's death. Really important. Does a tenant's death void the lease agreement? No, it does not. But you have the flexibility to be able to work with that. You know, legally you could ask for the remainder of the lease amount, but I just don't know anybody that would do that. I don't think that that's necessary. As long as you can get it cleaned up and rent it out, you know, in a reasonable amount of time, I don't think that's going to be an issue. What should you do with the tenant's belongings? We talked about that, that you can't remove the belongings without first working with the next of kin or the estate executor. That's an important factor. And then I mentioned the security lease. Yes, you can use that lease to cover any expenses that are necessary to get it rentable and, you know, to reasonably clean it up. Well, that's it for today. I know this is not the most joyous topic today, but, you know, I think having a tenant die mid-lease or any time, you know, can be a tragic experience and overwhelming sometimes. If that happens, be sure, you know, you go through the proper motions for both your sake as well as that of the tenant's loved ones. But, you know, be sensitive to them. You know, we went out of our way to really try to help her, you know, deal with the passing. In both cases, there was the sister of the gentleman that both were sisters of of the deceased. So we just tried to be as sensitive as we could to pull those things that were of a special value and put those things aside for them so that they could, it'd be easier for them. We didn't want them to have to dig through their laundry and all this other stuff. But we got their permission, of course, before we touched any of their things. So, yeah, it's something that you don't want to have to deal with. But at the same time, you do need to be prepared just to make sure that you're doing everything legally and in respect for the family. Well, that is it for today. Please note everything I mentioned will be outlined in detail in our show notes. And you're going to look for the episode entitled When a Tenant Dies. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.